Hi, on the world. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're staying on the surface of the planet Earth to celebrate Bob Zimmerman's Behind the Black, the 13th anniversary. This is a time to show your appreciation with subscriptions or donations. Bob keeps us extremely well informed as space exploration transfers itself from big space to commercial space to the monetizing of the future. And what we're watching right now is no one person in charge, but there is a leader. That would be SpaceX at Boca Chica. Bob, congratulations for 13 years. You began when Elon Musk had ambitions but no facts. Now he's got facts and even bigger ambitions. What has SpaceX achieved with Starlink launch? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, earlier this week, they completed a launch of the Falcon 9 rocket to put 22 Starlink satellites up. But what was significant about the launch is that the first stage completed its 16th launch. It had this was the 16th time this first stage had launched. It's done these 16 launches in just about 3 years, so just a month over 3 years. So in three years, a first stage launched into space 16 times. It carried over that period of time 800 satellites and 2 astronauts. Some people have calculated that it actually, this single booster has actually launched more satellites and astronauts than ULA in its entire history. In fact, during those 3 years, Russia and Europe launched a comparable number of rockets, but this first stage did match them. And this is all impossible, according to the rocket industry, for 50 years. You can't reuse the first stage. It's just not going to work. And SpaceX has demonstrated unequivocally that that was Luddite thinking, and it held people back by not thinking outside the box.
What do we know now about other commercial or big space pursuing reusable? What is the list? I remember that Russia was playing around with it, but I don't remember the full list.
At this moment in time, I would say the only other company that's aggressively pursuing and close to achieving some reusability on its first stage is Rocket Lab. They are, in their next launch, are going to try to recover the first stage when it splashes down softly on parachutes into the ocean. They've already done this a few times and have found that their engines can be quickly refurbished, tested, and flown again. And that's how they're going to do it. Most of the entities that are trying to do this aggressively are in China. Europe poo-pooed the idea, even after Elon Musk proved he could do it. The head of Ariane Space said, it still won't work. And so, Europe just decided they'll build an Ariane 6 rocket without any reusability. And now they're stuck with a rocket that no one wants. And they're now scrambling to try to put together a reusable rocket system in the next 5 years. They're way behind. ULA said it was going to make the Vulcan rocket reusable. It's been very long delayed. The way they were going to do it reusable is only recover the engines. They wanted to get the thing launching first before they would attempt that. We'll see if that works. Blue Origin was in the lead with SpaceX, saying they were going to do exactly the same thing, vertically land their first stage on a drone ship. And they started their company the same time as SpaceX. While SpaceX has got 4,000 Starlink satellites in orbit and has landed a first stage 16 times and has done almost 200 launches, Blue Origin's New Glenn rocket has not even launched yet. It's not even scheduled. It has problems, and we don't know if it's going to fly until next year. So that's the list of what I know is reusable. There are a bunch of new startup rocket companies that are building rockets that they say at some point down the road, once they get operational, they will then go towards reusability. And I don't have any doubt about that, because what SpaceX has demonstrated here, think about this a minute. It put up 800 satellites with using a single stage 16 times. You think they amortized the cost significantly? They basically made the cost for those launches almost, not zero, but close to it. So that from a point of view of Starlink, at least, since they use it for a lot of Starlink launches, it makes their profit margin much larger. And so everybody else is now scrambling to catch up, John.
Profit. Astra is looking at selling some of its stock. Why?
This is an, you know, private enterprise and competition and freedom means that you're going to have a lot of really great success, and it's going to be, in the long run, better for everybody. But capitalism and freedom means there's risks involved. And Astra is one of those rocket startup companies that doesn't look like I can't be enthusiastic. I hope they survive. They developed the rocket. They launched it a few times and then decided to scrap that rocket and come up with a new one. And for that reason, they haven't been earning money, and their stock prices have dropped. They're short of cash, and so they've announced they're going to sell off some of the stock in the company at market rate to try to raise $65 million. Of course, that depends. They're going to be selling the stock at the market price, and their company's the value of the stock might drop, and so they might not get $65 million, but they need cash, and so they're selling off some of their stock. I'm not hopeful that Astra's going to survive. They do have engines they're trying to sell to other rocket companies. That's giving them some revenue, but they won't get their next upgraded rocket launched for at least another year.
Voyager Space is a private enterprise building a space station. They call it a Starlab space station. They've hired the Indians. Why, Bob?
And this is part of the whole advantage of having many different private companies doing things. Voyager Space is part of a consortium led by Lockheed Martin that's building Starlab. It's one of three space stations that NASA has contracted to build for it. But since the stations are owned privately, they can go out and do things on their own. They've got, of course, work with the government when they're working internationally, but they can do things on their own, and they can therefore widen their options and make money in a variety of different ways because they're looking for profit. And so Voyager Space has now signed a deal with India to begin design work to see if it will be possible to use India's Gaganyaan manned capsule as a ferry, manned ferry, to get to Voyager Space. Starlab station. Now, Voyager Space would have other options. You know, if Boeing Starliner starts flying, and Dragon starts flying, and Sierra Space's Dream Chaser is made manned, they have many options to get people up there. But they're looking at India as well, and that makes sense because India will be then encouraged to be a customer of Voyager Space, launching its own astronauts to their Starlab space station, and therefore pays Voyager Space money. That's one of the reasons. Voyager Space has also signed deals with India to use two of its smaller rockets to get payloads into orbit, probably as cargo to this station, and it's also signed contract. It has a development deal with Europe's Airbus in context of the station as well. And once again, this is all to encourage business because the space stations will definitely want to make business not just from the United States but from other international companies and countries.
Spacesuits, we're looking forward. Already, my memory is that this is the answer to NASA's inability to design a new spacesuit. Axiom and Collins are the two private companies that were given awards, and now they've been given an additional $5 million. Why, Bob?
It's very clever in this part. When NASA issued, just to make it very clear to the audience, because you're right, John, NASA had failed. It spent 14 years and $1 billion and could never get past PowerPoint in building its new space suits for ISS. So after wasting $1 billion in 14 years, NASA finally realized, let's the private enterprise do it. And they issued two contracts, one to Axiom to build moon suits for the astronauts to go on the moon, and a second contract to Collins to build space suits that would be used in orbit on ISS and on the future stations. And they're different suits. They shouldn't be identical. They're comparable, but they do require different things depending on what you're doing. Those contracts ranged from $100 million to $228 million, which, once again, $1 billion NASA spent and got nothing. And here we're less than just over $300 million, and they're going to get two suits. What NASA has now issued is a crossover contract of $5 million to each company to figure out how to upgrade each suit or revise each suit so that it could do the other thing. So, for example, Axiom's moon suit, It's getting $5 million to try to figure out how to make it a spacesuit that can efficiently be used on ISS. And Collins, its ISS suit, the $5 million to figure out how it can be used on the moon. This is great because this gives these two companies now, makes their suits more flexible and more competitive. More companies, more places will want to use them. For Axiom, they're building space stations, so they want to have a suit that they can use on their station. So this is exactly what they want. And that's a suit they can now rent to other companies or, you know, sell to other companies. Same thing with Collins. An orbital suit will go to all those other space stations as well. Every one of them will want to buy one. And now they'll have a moon suit that they can also sell to NASA. So, you know, once again, it's just competition, and allowing the companies to own the suits so they can sell it to others or rent it to others is really the key, John.
What is Orbex?
Orbex is a rocket startup in Britain. It has a 50-year lease to the Sutherland Spaceport in Scotland that's under construction. It hopes to launch its prime rocket before the end of the year, which would, you know, be really put it in some ways the lead here, because there's a lot of startups that haven't launched in the United States, so they're pushing for that. Well, they announced this week that they're expanding their factory and office space to facilities in both Scotland and Denmark. They did not give a lot of details about each one, but I looked at it and said, Denmark, why Denmark? And I then thought about launching out of the UK. They want to launch by the end of the year, but they got to get a launch license from the UK, and that destroyed Virgin Orbit because they couldn't get the license for a very long time. And Orbex applied for its launch license in February of 22, that's 17 months ago, so they could launch by the end of this year. And so far we've heard no word from the Civil Aviation Authority in Britain about whether that's going to give an approval. So Orbex is sitting here maybe with a launch pad, a rocket, and capability, and might not be able to launch in the UK. So they're getting facilities in Denmark. There are other spaceports being built in Sweden and Norway, which have strong links or are in the European Union. Denmark is also in the European Union, so having facilities in Denmark could actually maybe be a pathway to using those other launch facilities, and maybe Orbex is hedging its bet. Denmark offices could also make it easier for them to just get business in Europe, which is definitely the case.
India's space research organization, ISRO. ISRO is looking for someone else to take its SmallSat rocket. Why?
Private enterprise, once again. The Modi government has been very much pressuring the giant bureaucracy of India and its space organization, the ISRO, its agency, to transfer ownership to private enterprise, to let private companies do things. They want to follow what the U.S. has done. And the bureaucracy, just like in NASA a decade ago, is very resistant. It's been fighting this. But they announced this week that ISRO is planning to transfer full ownership of its newest rocket, the SSLV. That's a small sat launch vehicles, what SSLV stands for, to transfer it to a private company, completely transfer. And they will do the transfer by open bidding, so private companies will bid on the purchase. The source is unconfirmed of this story. It does fit well with the Modi government's policy. It's very possible the story was leaked by people in the bureaucracy that oppose this move, and they want to gin up opposition by releasing the information. But nonetheless, it would be the right thing to do, because Modi government, once again, is pushing to do what NASA's done. Stop being the builder and be instead the customer from private enterprise, and this is how they would work it, John.
Australia's government, Anthony Albanese, has stepped back from a program to build four government satellites, mostly for civil use and maritime, reports Bob. Why did they step back, Bob? Is this smart?
I don't know if it's smart. What the new Labor government did was cancel the Conservative government's project, a $1.2 billion program to launch four satellites to provide civilian and military data from orbit. I don't know how that previous program was structured. Was it structured to have private companies build it, or was the Conservative government going to have the Australia build those satellites? In the latter case, it would be a disaster. They wouldn't get anything built, and they'd probably go over budget. In the former case, they would be helping develop a satellite industry in Australia. But I don't know what they were planning to do. The Labor government has canceled the program entirely and said, look, we don't need to spend this money. We can depend on our international partners, that's mostly the U.S., to provide us this military and civilian data from orbit, which is what they've been doing for 75 plus years. And, you know, there's a reason to develop their own aerospace industry and do have the independent abilities, but at the same time, they can save money. So that's all I can say, John. You might have more insights on this.
You're giving me a new thing to investigate. Why did they step back? Are they doing what NASA does, hiring private rather than spend money on their own development? I'll ask that question. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black, 13th anniversary of Behind the Black, for your subscriptions and donations. We're going to Mars. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.